This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org, and he joins us live in studio on Tuesday afternoons. And you're celebrating a new office. Congratulations.
Thank you, Sean
Tubbs said, I got a view of the mall. It's fantastic.
We did. We moved our office over the weekend. So now Charlottesville Tomorrow's newsroom looks right down on the downtown mall. We're in the Market Street parking garage in what's known as City Space. That's a combination of things. There are actually two other nonprofits in that space already, the Charlottesville Community Design Center and Look 3, which is the Festival of the Photograph. So you've got now Charlottesville Tomorrow, so there are three nonprofits, and then there's a public area that's called City Space, where there are a lot of public meetings held.
Sweet. Congratulations.
We're excited
about it. Yeah, that's fantastic.
One of the things we hope to take advantage of is all the walk-through traffic, a little more visibility on our work. And one of the things we're going to do in March is have a big exhibit there about the community water supply plan.
We have a lot to talk about. Let us begin with the latest on industrial land use in Albemarle County.
Weather permitting, the Board of Supervisors will start its second month, this new board, and they are scheduled to talk about the county's industrial land inventory, Coy. That's something that was in the action plan that was approved at the first meeting of the year, and this is their first opportunity to discuss this inventory. Now, this was something they requested long before the November elections, but the bottom line is the Board of Supervisors in Albemarle is trying to figure out, do they have enough industrial land zoned the appropriate way to attract new business to the county? And for businesses that are already here and need some room to expand, is that easy for them to do?
And what's the end result? What's the answer,
Depends,
Brian?
Who you ask. Of course, that's always what I say, right?
Yeah.
So some of the members of the Board of Supervisors say they're concerned about this, that there is not enough land. The report says there's a whole lot of land that is intended to be industrial at some point. If you look at the comprehensive plan, it says we should put industry here. But if you look at the underlying zoning, how it's already zoned today, it's not zoned for industrial use. That means it has to go through a rezoning before it could be used for industrial purposes.
And that always brings out the neighbors of those parcels who don't want land rezoned industrial near their house.
It does bring them out. It also has, over the years, the report points out that over 160 acres has been rezoned preemptively by the board to other uses. So maybe somebody bought a piece of property that was zoned for industry, then they came to the Board of Supervisors and said, you know what, instead of putting industry here, I'd rather build houses, or I'd rather put a office park here. And so a number of those properties, you know, the county has sort of shot itself in the foot in this case. They have rezoned properties towards other uses, and that has cut back on their inventory. Another dynamic in this whole conversation, Coy, will be should the growth areas in Albemarle expand to accommodate uses like this? We wrote a story in Saturday's Daily Progress, Sean Tubbs did, about the Yancey Industrial Park out in Crozet. That's at the I-64-250 interchange. And Will Yancey has been trying to advocate for this proposal for over a year now. And it's getting its own review through the Crozet Master Plan process. So the Planning Commission in the county last year said, we're not interested in this. It's outside the growth area. It's not where we're supposed to have new development. We don't want it. The Board of Supervisors said, not so fast. You know, the Crozet Master Plan's up for review. Let's throw it in the hopper there and see what comes out the other end. Now we have a new Board of Supervisors in January. They start off and say, we want Yancey and projects like it at the interchanges of our I-64 corridor to get a second look. So I expect it's going to be an interesting discussion.
So likely that the Yancey Mills Business Park will be approved by this Board of Supervisors.
You know, I think right now we don't know that for certain. What Dwayne Snow, who was one of the new supervisors representing the Samuel Miller District, what Dwayne said at the end of this public forum last week, which was related to the Crozet Master Plan, he said he was intrigued by the idea that there might be some industrial uses that were actually more appropriate for the Yancey Business Park at I-64, easy access to the interstate. Instead of having those trucks come through downtown Crozet, let's give them easy access to the interstate and avoid having some of those trucks on 240. Sean and I were talking about this in the office, and he said, you know, Brian, I can foresee when some of those industrial proposals come forward for Crozet on 240, you know, inside the designated growth area, as you mentioned, Coy, the neighbors will come out. And I fully expect neighbors in those new neighborhoods that have popped up along 240.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Who have never experienced the industrial history of Crozet, you know, whether it's the fruit industry or the frozen food industry or Acme Visible. All of those industries have been dormant for some time. I expect the neighbors there would have a different reaction today were it to come down their street. That said, you know, Mike Marshall, he's one of the leaders out in Crozet. He's involved in the Crozet Community Advisory Council. And Mr. Marshall is saying, you know what, Board of Supervisors, don't even look over at the Yancey Business Park. We are a prime example of how industry and a growth area can coexist. It's part of our history. Let us do it again. We're trying to get, he would say, a critical mass of activity in downtown Crozet. So let us keep the development there.
See, I would be partial to that. If there's industrial space out there that's just sitting there, why not just use that?
That's the case today.
Because it's just sitting there in Crozet, and they're trying to grow Crozet and make it more vital and put more stuff there. That's what I don't want to sort of scratch my head. I don't understand that.
Some of the ConAgra facility, of course, has already been repurposed for Music Today, for Star Hill Brewery. The Acme Visible site, an office filing system company, that site is apparently under environmental remediation for the next 6 years, according to county staff. So it sort of takes it out of the equation for short-term solutions, but certainly would be something for the future.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And the latest on water supply in Central Virginia?
Where to begin? Let me just say that I'm excited to report that we finally finished off our Water, Our Future series. And Coy, that was the six-part series we were doing to update the community on the water supply. We got through October with five issues, and then we were waiting for all this additional information and a few more decisions to be made about studies. And you and I have talked about the studies underway in 2010, and now that we have all those in process, we decided it was time to put out the sixth and final issue and just bring people up to speed on what's coming next in 2010 when it comes to all these studies. So if you go to seavilletomorrow.org and click on Our Water, Our Future, you can get access to that sixth issue. Another thing we did, Coy, that I'm pretty excited about is we have started building the water supply and the various alternatives to the water supply in Google Earth. You've probably seen 3D buildings in Google Earth if you go to any of the big cities.
Very cool.
There were only two buildings really in Charlottesville on Google Earth, and you can probably guess which two buildings.
Yeah.
Monticello.
Monticello Hotel and the old Miller and Rhodes building.
Nope. Monticello.
And Monticello. Monticello. Oh, Monticello Hotel.
Monticello and the Rotunda.
Oh, you're kidding.
Those were
really
the only two buildings in Google Earth, and I think another building at UVA maybe. And we have started building out infrastructure in Google Earth. So now if you go into Google Earth, and this is a program you can download, it's available to the public, the models of some of our current dams, like the Lower Ragged Mountain Dam, Upper Ragged Mountain Dam, soon Sugar Hollow, South Fork, we have started building that infrastructure in Google Earth. We've also built two buildings on the downtown mall, City Hall and the Market Street parking garage, where I mentioned our new offices.
How do you do that?
Well, I actually don't do it, but we have an architect that's working with us. His name's Bob Pinio, and Bob is a wizard at building things with these tools called Google SketchUp and getting the models into Google Earth. It's pretty exciting because it allows us to help visualize some of these complicated community infrastructure projects. You can put everything in there from a bridge to a road to a dam. We even put in the Sugar Hollow pipeline. Of course, that's underground. So we just painted a line on the surface in Google Earth, and we flew people through in a presentation we did last week. We flew them from Sugar Hollow Reservoir up on the Shenandoah National Park all the way down to Ragged Mountain along the Sugar Hollow pipeline, which goes right near your house, Coy.
Get out of here.
It goes right near West Lee.
Are you serious?
the pond there. Yes.
No kidding.
The Sugar Hollow Pipeline.
The pipeline comes through that on its way to Ragged Mountain.
On its way to Ragged Mountain.
This is the pipeline that's all broken up and losing water, and it's amazing anything's getting through it.
Well, that might be overstating
it. It's falling apart, right?
It's over 80 years old, and it needs to be in the minds of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. It either has to be replaced or retired. And the current 2006 water plan retires that pipeline, builds a new one between South Fork and the Ragged
Mountain. The one that goes uphill. They need to
pump
the water.
Depending on which direction you're looking, yes.
Yeah. So how did you know where the pipeline is from Sugar Hollow to Ragged Mountain?
We asked for a map.
And they still have the old map that was used when they built it?
We have what is their best guess as to where to where all this pipeline
is. How deep is that thing?
I don't know.
Like, how deep in the ground at any one point is this pipeline carrying the Charlottesville's water?
I don't know, Coy. I do know, in parts, apparently it's in a tunnel. In one place, they had to go through a mountain, I gather, and you can't really fish a pipe, you know, back when they did this, through a mountain. So I think they just cut a tunnel, and now there's a tunnel with a pipe in it.
That tunnel you could walk through?
That's the way they described it to me. I don't
Holy
know if you
cow.
Could drive through it, but.
Wonder where this is.
It's over off of 250, near Cherry Hill, apparently. The Cherry Hill Farm apparently has this tunnel in it. Not something you want to go looking for. It's
private land.
Private property. Don't go looking for that tunnel. And anyway, but in the course of building this in Google Earth, we had to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And we learned a lot in the process about what some of the alternatives would look like. So Mayor Norris is talking about a dam alternative at Ragged Mountain, which would raise the existing dam 13 feet. One of the things we discovered was that would flood not only the lower reservoir, but also the upper reservoir, because 13 feet gets you right to the spillway of the upper dam. So it actually inundates land both at the lower level and the upper level up to I-64.
Which would be inundated with the proposed new dam anyway, right?
Which would be, yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody has really put in a model or a visual this alternative. So I think this was the first time anybody had shown what a 13-foot dam might look like and what it would do to both those.
Are you modeling the proposed dam as well?
Yes. And all those models are publicly available. So we were able to create a movie and show an audience last week. Chamber of Commerce had a luncheon. We were able to fly them through this simulation. But the models are publicly available in Google, and you can download them and try them out.
Very cool. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. And for folks listening, this movie you're talking about and all this stuff, is that available on your website?
It sure is.
There you go.
We did a slideshow, so there's about 10 minutes of slides that I gave as a background. The other panelists were Mayor Dave Norris and Tom Frederick, Executive Director of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. So the three of us were trying to bring this chamber luncheon up to speed on all things water.
We're talking with Brian. Now, Gary O'Connell's moving to the Albemarle County Service Authority. From
big
City
news.
Hall.
Yes,
that
I was
is big
shocked.
News.
I was sitting in that meeting with Chris Callahan. He and I were the only two reporters at the meeting, and they announced their new executive director, said it was Gary O'Connell, the current city manager, and they said the look on my face, they really enjoyed. I was totally surprised.
Now, what does this mean, though? Because the Albemarle County Service Authority, of course, supplies the public water to people in the county, and of course, so they're very involved in this whole conversation about water, and what does this mean for the whole proposed water supply plan?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. One of the, you know, Gary O'Connell right now is a representative of the city of Charlottesville on the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board. The city manager seat has a position on that board. So Gary has been very involved in all things water since he's been city manager. He's also been having to carry forward city council's wishes about what they would like to do or not do on the waterfront. So now he would be switching seats on that board to the seat held by the executive director of the county water authority. And guess who the water board in the county is appointed by? The Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. So now he's going to be, he has a different set of bosses. Basically two levels. He has his board, who's appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and then the Board of Supervisors. So he's going to have to be presenting, you know, a different outlook on the water plan.
So he moves from a position where he's carrying out the wishes of a all Democratic leadership over to the county where he's carrying out the wishes of a Republican dominated leadership. Arguably, it's going to be very different.
Yeah.
And he might be a little bit more comfortable, you would think.
Now, in the service authority role, though, the scope of and the politics of that position, I think, are obviously much different than being city manager. If you're in charge of the Albemarle County Service Authority, what's your job? Your job is to give water and sewer to the buildings that have been approved in Albemarle County. So you're not involved in whether those buildings should be approved or really where they should go, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, your job is, once they're there, make sure they can connect up to the network.
Right. And they're not even there yet, but he's going to be dealing with places like Albemarle Place and North Point and these places that have been approved, and they can't go forward because there isn't proper sewage.
That's right. And certainly the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority is also involved in that because they've got the big sewer interceptor lines. But you're right. Infrastructure, we've talked a lot about on this show. Both the city and the county are investing a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars, in upgrading this infrastructure that's aging and needs repairs, not only for the sake of repairing the stuff, but also for expanding capacity for future growth.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Now, what is this about well, you were already talking about that, the 3D Charlottesville. We did jump ahead. I think we did. So what's this about in other news? There's a new gas station.
Yeah, we can.
In Crozet, is that right?
Break a story here, Coy.
Break it.
There's a gas station proposed for Route 250 West out in Crozet, across from the Exxon. It's sort of near the Brownsville Market. Used to be a small engine repair shop there. Looked like an old wood structure was on that piece of property. It's about 4 acres. And Michelle and Jeff Sprouse, for the past year, have been trying to get a new gas station approved there. Because 250 is an entrance corridor for Albemarle County, it has to get by the Architectural Review Board. And it's been there now 3 times. I covered yesterday's meeting of the ARB, and they are not happy with this proposal. Now, the residents who live near it are not happy either. But what's interesting is... the Architectural Review Board has been saying, basically for the past year, this thing is too big. The neighborhood has been concerned it was going to be a Sheetz-looking gas station.
Yeah.
And so the ARB, you know, has to look at the aesthetics, the design of the building. Does it fit with an entrance corridor for Albemarle County? Think of the Shell gas station over on...
Ivy Road. Yeah.
How that one looks like, not like a lot of Shell gas stations, right?
Yeah.
It's got the tin roof. It's got dormers. And this applicant tried to present something that looked more like something that would be approved in Albemarle County. The only problem was they also put a dotted line and said, in the future, we'd like to add onto it here and make it bigger. And that dotted line was causing a lot of angst.
Where is this again? This is 250 West?
250 West, out in Crozet. Directly across the street from the Exxon. It's in a little historic area called Freetown. Freetown Lane is...
directly across the street from the Exxon.
If you're heading west, you've just passed Western Albemarle High School. Then there's a graveyard. Then there's Brownsville Market on the left. And then...
on the right, there's a little gas station up there, right?
And that's an Exxon. It's right across from that.
Ah, down by the where they do bingo.
Just next to the Moose Lodge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're calling the bingo place?
Yeah. The Moose Lodge. I know it is the bingo place. So right next to that
is an empty lot.
Somebody wants to build a new gas station there, and they want it to be a little bit bigger than the neighbors are happy with.
They want it to be bigger than the neighbors or the Architectural Review Board. So Joe Higgins is the applicant's representative. She's a former planning commissioner, so she knows how things work in Albemarle County.
Yeah.
She's very frustrated right now. She left that meeting very distraught yesterday and said that, you know, she thought the ARB was overstepping its bounds and getting into areas that were really more the purview of...
Planning Commission.
The Planning Commission. And in this case, it's
That wouldn't be the first time.
In this case, though, she would say it's a by right development. It's highway commercial. She should be able to have her applicant build a gas station.
Interesting.
There.
And that complete story is in Tomorrow's Progress?
It'll be in tomorrow's newspaper and on our website at SevilleTomorrow.org.
And you heard it here first on WINA. Thank you, Brian, so much.
Thanks, Coy.
Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can check out all this news online at SevilleTomorrow.org. www.charlottesville.org. Y'all stay warm tonight and stay safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.